Been with us tonight and trust that you have been ministered to already by the hymns and the special music. We're going to turn in our Bibles if you have your Bible here with you tonight, otherwise the text is displayed for you up there on the screen, to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. It's so important at this time of year to pause and to consider who Jesus is, who Jesus Christ is, and why he came. That might seem like a very basic thing, as to why Christ came and as to who he is. But there is a lot of confusion out there today, isn't there, as to who Jesus Christ is and why he came. And so I'm going to speak to you for a few moments tonight on the theme, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. There's a lot of, there's been a reoccurring theme through many of the songs tonight in relation to light. And we want to talk about that tonight. Christmas is a time when there's a lot of light around, isn't there? And we want to talk about Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Well, I'm going to read the text for you tonight. It's from John chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 14. The Bible reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." Can you hear the word light coming through tonight? "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Let's just ask God to help us, shall we, as we consider this Christmas message for 2021. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us tonight. We again give you thanks for those who have gathered here to hear your word. And Lord, I pray that you would just guide me now by the Spirit of God, empty me of self and fill me with thyself, Lord, that what these dear folks would hear tonight would not be my opinions, Lord, but the word of God. We pray if there be any tonight who have not yet opened their hearts to receive Jesus Christ, who is the light, we pray that tonight, this Christmas season in 2021, might be the time when they receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless us now as we look into this passage of Scripture, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, light is a prominent feature and something that's very familiar to us at Christmas, isn't it? There are lights all over our city tonight to celebrate the Christmas season. In fact, it's estimated in the US, I don't know what it's like here in Australia, but there are more than 150 million light sets that are sold each year. That's a lot of lights, isn't it? 150 million light sets are sold each year in America at Christmas time, with more than 80 million homes decorated with holiday lights. A family in the Hudson Valley in New York hold the current Guinness World Record for the most Christmas lights. They've held it since 2014. And the current amount of lights they have is 687,000 lights. It's a lot of lights, isn't it? But isn't it sad that at a time when the world is, in a sense, so full of physical light and so full of lights at Christmas, isn't it a sad thing that the true light is often neglected? The true light, which is Jesus Christ, the one who came to rescue us from darkness, the one who came to bring light into our darkened hearts, the one who came to save us from our sins, that light is often ignored or rejected. And so I want us to think about that tonight. And we're going to major tonight on the theme of light, but there's some amazing statements here about Jesus Christ in the early part of John chapter 1 that I'd like to just briefly draw your attention to before we get to the theme of light, because it's important, as I mentioned, that we remind ourselves during this Christmas season as to who Jesus Christ really is. Let's answer that question, who is Christ, from the text. Number one, Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning, the Bible says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus Christ is called here the Word. We know that it's referring to Jesus Christ because if you look down in verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so this is one of the names of Jesus Christ. He is called the Word. Notice that he is the eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word. It doesn't say in the beginning the Word was made, does it? It says in the beginning was the Word. It's very interesting, isn't it, how Genesis 1 starts very similar to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 1, which says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And that's how John's Gospel approaches the subject of Jesus Christ. It simply introduces him. You go back as far in time as you can think of, and beyond that, and Jesus Christ was always here. You need to understand that tonight, that Jesus Christ is the everlasting Son. Before the world was ever created, before the world was ever brought into being, Jesus Christ was there. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. So he's the eternal Word. We think about Micah 5:2, one of the prophecies of Jesus coming. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." And listen to this part here. "Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." That's Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Word. He is the divine Word. The divine Word, Jesus Christ, was with God. This is referring to the fact that Jesus Christ is a distinct person within the Godhead. This is the truth of the Trinity, that there is one God manifest in three persons. It's interesting, isn't it? Jesus Christ was with God, and at the same time, he was God. So he's all God, but he was with God. You say, how do you work that out? Well, that's the mystery of who God is. God is one, yet manifest in three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so it's talking about Christ here as the divine Word. He was both with God, showing that he is a distinct person within the Godhead, and at the same time, he was God, meaning that he was equal with the Father and is God just as surely as the Father is God. We need to be reminded of that at this Christmas season. You say, who is Jesus Christ? And many people answer that question in all sorts of different ways. Some say, well, he was a good man, or some will say he was a prophet, a good prophet. But did you know it's absolutely essential that you come to terms not just with what Christ did for you on the cross, but who Christ is? Because Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. And so what we believe about the person of Jesus Christ is very important. Our eternal destiny depends upon it. And Jesus said, I am. The Bible says that Jesus is God. God was manifest in the flesh, the Bible says. Not he was manifest in the flesh, like the modern versions say. God was manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. So he was the divine Word. But also he is the incarnate Word. You say, what is the incarnation? Well, it's simply the doctrine that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, became man. God became a man. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Jesus Christ is the God-man. All God and all man. 100% God and 100% man. 1 Timothy 3:16, I quoted the verse before, says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." God came the first Christmas. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And we know from the New Testament that Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus Christ is the Word. He's the one who reveals God to us. You think about yourself. When you speak words, what are you doing? You're revealing your inner personality. You're revealing your thoughts and your heart when you speak. Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ is called the Word? He is the expression of the Father. He is the one who reveals who God is to us. He's the revealing person of the Godhead. Jesus Christ came that we might know God. And so he's God. Notice secondly, he's Creator, verse 3. "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." All things were made by him. Who is Christ? He's the Word. He reveals God to us. He is God manifest in the flesh. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Creator. All things, it says, were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Don't we see evidence around us of a designer? Design points to a designer, doesn't it? Information speaks of intelligence. You look at just how much information there is in just one human cell, all the intricacies and the machinery and the engineering. It absolutely boggles the mind. Scientists estimate that if you could get one pinhead's worth of DNA, that would fill books to the moon and back 500 times, with each volume saying something different. The human brain has enough information in it to fill about 20 million volumes. That's more than all the volumes in the National Library of Australia. Isn't it amazing? You know, when we look at the design that's out there, we see that this speaks to us of a God who is real. A God who is a designer. And the Bible says that the one who made all these things is Jesus Christ. Now, if Jesus Christ made all things, that means he himself could not be made, right? So don't listen to the people that come and knock on your door and say that Jesus Christ was the first created being of Jehovah. That's a lie. No, Jesus Christ made all things. He is not the created. He is the Creator. And that's what the Bible teaches. So Jesus is the Word. He is the Creator. Now we notice, and this is the major part of tonight's message, that Jesus is the light. And we're introduced to this theme of light in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life and light are found in Jesus Christ. Consider these some things about the light tonight. Consider the origin of the light. Jesus is the source of the light, isn't he? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is life. There's a lot of talk today, isn't there, about living. Oh, I just want to live life. I just want to have a good life. I just want to enjoy my life. Could I say to you tonight, you haven't begun to really know what life is until you've come to know Jesus Christ. The Bible says that in him was life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, at the moment, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, you enjoy physical life, you enjoy certain aspects of emotion and mental, those sort of things, and the mind and those kinds of things, but you don't yet know spiritual life. Because of sin, we're dead in our trespasses and sins, the Bible says, Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. But when you get saved, when you become a Christian, something happens to the deadness inside my spirit there. God makes me alive again, and I have life in Christ. Jesus came, and his life brought the light. The light shineth in darkness. Look at verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see how the verse reminds us of the reality of darkness over against the light? You know, the darker the night, the brighter the light. You know that, don't you? It's something about darkness, isn't there? How many of you have children and have to put night lights in their bedrooms to help them at night because of the darkness? And I remember as a child, we used to always want to put on the hallway light. And we had an old house, a cottage next door to where we lived, and my dad used to go and often study there as a pastor. And we used to remember with dread. He probably thought we were asleep, but we'd be lying in bed feeling scared, and oh, it's good the light's on. And Dad would hear Dad's footsteps coming from the old house over next door, and he'd come in, and off all the lights would go. And we'd be lying there in darkness, and I don't blame him really now, looking back. With 9 children, he was trying to conserve on the power bill. You know, he said he would come over from the old house and he said the place was lit up like a Christmas tree, you know. But light in the darkness. We do live in a dark world, don't we? There is darkness. There is evil. We're talking about in the spiritual realm now. We're not just talking about physical light and physical darkness. In fact, we're talking about spiritual light versus spiritual darkness. You don't have to be too too smart to realize that there is darkness in the world. There's the darkness of Satan, a real person. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." It's not a pretty picture, but the reality is this world system, according to the Bible, is under the dominion of Satan. Satan wields tremendous power over this world system, keeping it in darkness, the darkness of Satan. What about the darkness of sin? 1 John 5:19 tells us that the whole world lieth in wickedness. What about the darkness that's in here? It's easy, isn't it, in some ways, to look out there and to see the darkness in the world, and we can see the evil things that are going on. But did you know that at some point in your life, you're going to have to come to terms with the darkness of sin in your own heart? You're going to have to come to terms with the fact that without Christ, who is the light, your heart is a dark place. You may strive to be a good person. You may do some good things, but in reality, you are a sinner by nature. You're a sinner by practice. The inner part of your being is like a broken down temple, like a dusty room full of cobwebs and full of all sorts of rubbish and things. Your heart is an evil place. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But the light came to shine in the darkness. Something very sad here, though, and the darkness comprehended it not. Meaning that they didn't understand. That man failed in the main to comprehend, to grasp, or to understand the light of Christ. You know that Christ is still an enigma to many, isn't he? They don't understand. What? Who is this Jesus? Why did he come? Now, sometimes that's because of ignorance, but do you know sometimes it's a choice that people actually choose darkness over light? The Bible says in John, the same book here in the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world." Listen to this. "And men loved darkness rather than light." Why? "Because their deeds were evil." You know, that's the real reason, isn't it? People are happy to put up all sorts of Christmas lights, but why is it they don't want Jesus Christ, who is the light? Because their deeds are evil, because men love darkness, the Bible says, rather than light. Well, I hope that's not you this Christmas, that you're going to choose your sin over the Savior. I hope that's not you this Christmas, that you're going to choose the darkness of sin over Jesus Christ, who is the light. But that's what keeps us from coming to the light, doesn't it? Oh, even if we recognize, oh, there's some evil things going on out there, what holds you back is from coming to Christ is the fact that there is sin there, and to come into the light means my sin's going to be exposed. So Jesus is the origin of the light. Drop down to verse 9, we see that we notice that John the Baptist, there's a reference here to the ministry of John the Baptist in verse 6 and 7. "There was a man sent from John whose name was John," sent from God, sorry, "whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." So this is a reference here to the ministry of John the Baptist, who came. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light. So we see that Christ, we see the origin of the light. We see the messenger of light here, that this was John the Baptist. He came to bear witness of the light. And that is the job of every Christian, to bear witness of the light, to testify to others. We are not the light. I know we are called the light of the world by Christ, but we're like a little candle, aren't we? Shining the light of the truth in the darkness to lead people to the great source of light, who is Jesus Christ. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Then consider the illumination of the light. Look at how the light illuminates every man. Verse 9, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Isn't it interesting? Oh, I don't miss this, that Christ is called the true light. The true light. Now, why would John need to refer to Christ as the true light? That's because there are false lights. Can you see that? Jesus Christ is the true light. True as opposed to false. True meaning he is the genuine light. He is the authentic light. Could I just say tonight that Satan is very good at projecting false lights and drawing people away by false lights. I'm told that in the early days of England, back when there were sailing ships, there were plunderers on certain coastlines who would send out these light signals to these ships in distress. And these ships thought that these light signals were leading them to a safe harbour, when in reality, these plunderers were leading them to leading these unsuspecting ships to shipwreck on the rocks so that they could then be plundered. That's the false light. That's a deceptive light that is there to harm people. Do you know that we need to be aware of the false lights out there that the devil would use to lure you into his trap? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13 and 14, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So the devil is very good, isn't he, at sending out a false signal, something that looks like light, but actually it's fake, it's not real, and it leads in the end back to darkness. What are some false lights that Satan uses? Well, he uses religion, doesn't he? That's a false light. People think, oh, there's hope in religion. There's hope in this particular church or in this particular sect or in this particular way of thinking here. Or some people have the wrong notion that, in a sense, all light is the same light, or that all religions lead to God. You heard that one? Well, I think we all end up at the same place at the end of the day. No, Jesus said that I am the way, not a way. Not a way amongst many, but Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Here he is called in John chapter 1, the true light. There's only one true light. You'll notice it's in a capital L there in the King James Bible for good reason. The true light, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. So be careful of the false lights that Satan will try and use to lure you into his traps. Very often we think of the devil as being this little man that walks around, this red man with a pitchfork. Actually, more often than not, he presents as someone who he is not. He hides his true identity. He hides his true character behind a mask, behind a facade, and it's to try and lure you into a trap because Satan wants you to go to hell. So Jesus is the true light, the authentic light. Watch out for those false lights, the false lights of religion, or the philosophies of men that people try and rest in. They think, well, I think there's hope in atheism, or hope in humanism, or hope in materialism or commercialism or whatever other ism you might say. Could I just say again, those are all false lights. So that's the character of the light. It's the true light. Notice the coverage of the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man. That tells me a couple of things. If it says that Jesus Christ is the true light that lights every man, that tells me that this light is available to all. If the Bible says that this is the light that lights every man, that tells me that this light is available to all. You can receive Jesus Christ, who is the light. He lights every man who comes into the world. It also teaches us that there's a sense where every person has light or has been given light by God and is accountable to God for that light. We have the light of creation that testifies of who God is. We have the light of conscience, the voice within that testifies to the reality of God and God's law. And then we have the light of all lights, the light of Christ who came into the world bringing with him the truth. Consider then the rejection of the light in verse 10 and 11. It says there in verse 10, "He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So we've seen that Jesus Christ is the true light that came into the world to bring light in the darkness, to deliver us from the darkness of sin. But isn't this one of the saddest verses in the Bible? He was in the world. That's Jesus Christ. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Isn't that sad? That so many people tonight, rather than receiving Jesus Christ, who is the light, reject the light. Oh, lights at Christmas. The lights of Christmas, fun, family, food, and fellowship. What about the true light? What are you going to do about the true light? Jesus Christ, who came into the world. You can't be neutral with Christ. He divides history. Notice then the reception of the light, verse 12 and 13. Here's the good news. Verse 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I want you to notice three words, key words, and then we're done. The first word I want you to think about is the word receive. That should be a familiar term to you at Christmas time. Receive. Give. Receive. Well, what is receiving? Well, receiving is the opposite of rejecting, isn't it? We talked about the fact that many rejected Christ, who is the light. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. If you don't receive something, that's rejecting it, isn't it? But as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so the receiving is the opposite of rejecting. We're at that time of year, aren't we, where people often give gifts. Do you know that God offers you a gift this Christmas? He offers you the gift of eternal life. He's offering you the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the light. He offers you the gift of forgiveness of sins. He offers you light instead of darkness. He offers you forgiveness. He offers you a new life. We talked about that. Jesus Christ is life and light. And when you receive him into your life, he brings with him life and light. Are you going to receive or reject that gift? I think in reality, most of you here are not going to knock back presents at Christmas. You might quietly get rid of some afterwards. Do you know that happens? People always say, says one article, that it's the thought that counts when it comes to gift giving until you've left the room. At which point they start working out when they can return a dud for something they actually want. According to research from Optoro, a company that helps retailers process and resell returns, shoppers return nearly $70 billion worth of purchases during the holiday season. In 2013, going back a little ways, the Daily Mail reported that 42% of women returned holiday gifts from their husbands, who should theoretically have at least some insider gifting knowledge. The same study reported that 17% of recipients plan to donate an unwanted present, 13% plan to re-gift one, and 10% would simply throw the bad gift away. A GameStop survey indicated that 98% of their customers had received at least one holiday gift that they'd rather return. It happens, doesn't it, at Christmas, where you smile and receive something, but in your heart you've kind of like, I'm not going to use that. In your heart, you've rejected it. Do you know sometimes that's the way it is when it comes to Christ as the gift? There's a bit of an outward, you know, you sort of, yeah, I'm a Christian or whatever, but in reality, in your heart, have you ever received Jesus Christ into your life personally? Or are you like a lot of people at Christmas who kind of just, oh, yeah, I'll accept Christ, and you kind of pay lip service to it outwardly, but inside, really, you're rejecting his gift? Some people just reject Christ's offer outright, don't they? Don't want nothing to do with Jesus, right? Some people sit in church. Some people say, oh, yeah, my parents were Christians, or, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and outwardly they profess to know Christ, but inwardly they've rejected Christ. Or if they haven't, maybe if they haven't out and out rejected him, they haven't really ever come to a time and a place in their lives where they've turned from their sin to Christ and received the gift of eternal life. So the first word there you need to pay attention to is receive. But as many as received him. The second word I want you to pay attention to is the word believe. As many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe. To believe means to trust, means to rely upon. What do you need to believe? Well, you need to believe the gospel that Christ died for our sins, the Bible says, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. But can you see from the verse, it's not enough simply to accept those facts in your mind, you have to receive. There's an act of the will there. There are people out there today who will go, yes, I ticked the box. Yes, I believe Jesus came. Yes, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. But have you come to a place in your life, a time where you have personally turned from your sin consciously and received the free gift of eternal life? So we see that believing is receiving. Receiving is believing. The two words go together in the one verse. You need to believe, which involves receiving. There's a conscious decision there. Yes, Lord Jesus. He's offering you the gift. He's offering you forgiveness of sins. He's offering you eternal life. He's offering you the gift of himself. Thanks be unto God, wrote Paul, for this unspeakable gift. He offers you the gift of eternal life. He offers you the gift of the light. But you have to receive it, believing that he is who he said he is, that he's God, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. Third word tonight is the word become. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So in this verse, there are two things that you must do. You need to believe on Christ and receive Christ. What happens when you do that? You become something. You become a child of God. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Did you know that you don't automatically enter this world as a child of God? Many people mistakenly think that that's the case. Oh, we're all God's children. Well, God is our creator, that's true. God is the creator of all. But you're not a part of his family until you receive Christ. You're not a part of his family until you believe on Christ, believe the gospel that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. You've got to come to that point, that time and that point in your life where you're prepared to receive Christ as your Savior. And when you do those two things, when you believe on Christ, reach out the hand of faith and receive the free gift of eternal life he offers you, then he does the work and he makes you a child of God. Did you know that we're all born in sin on the wrong side of the battle? We're all born into the kingdom of darkness. The Bible talks about being translated, means to be transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. The kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Son. Which kingdom are you in tonight? Everybody in this room, everyone, is either in the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. What is the deciding factor as to which side of the fence you sit on? Have you received Christ as your Savior, who is the light? When you receive him as your Savior, You're sorry for your sin. You come to him asking him to cleanse you of your sin. And you say, Lord, I now receive the free gift of eternal life. I receive you, Lord Jesus, into my life. He comes in as the light. He dispels the darkness. He cleanses you of sin. And he takes you out of the kingdom of darkness and places you into the kingdom of light. Verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That tells me very clearly this is not something that you can do. See how it uses birthing language here? Who were born? Who? Referring to the sons of God, those who receive Christ. They were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So this is describing a spiritual birth, to be born again. Being born again doesn't mean falling over at a meeting. Being born again doesn't mean that some preacher comes and hits you on the forehead and you fall out and get knocked out on the floor and gyrate all over the place and start babbling things with your tongue uncontrollably. That's not what it means to be born again. Being born again is a spiritual thing that takes place. When you receive Christ as your Savior, as I said earlier in the message, God gives you new life. He makes your dead spirit alive again. He does the work there too, and he transfers you into his family, into the kingdom of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which were born not of blood. That means that it's not of human descent. Salvation is not something that is passed down from parent to child through the bloodstream. You've got to understand that this tonight. It's not of blood. You're not born physically into God's family. You must be born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a religious man. You need a spiritual rebirth. But that's the problem, isn't it? Many people think, well, my grandmother was a Christian or my mum was a Christian, therefore I must be a Christian. No, the Bible says, not of blood. You're not born of blood. It doesn't come through the bloodline. It doesn't come through your parents. Your parents can't pass salvation down to you. Your grandparents can't pass the Christian faith and salvation and a new life down into your life. They can give you physical life, but they can't give you spiritual life. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Nor of the will of the flesh. That means it's not something that you have the power to do yourself. You can't work it up. You can't produce it by your own efforts. It is nor of the will of man. No man can save you. Not a priest. A priest can't make you a Christian. A priest can't forgive your sins. A pastor can't forgive your sins. I can't forgive your sins. Charismatic preacher says he can lay his hands on you and give you the Holy Spirit. That's a lie as well. He can't give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to be any man's, it's some preacher's slave to just do with as he pleases. Not of the will of man. Your parents can't give it to you by having you baptized as a baby. That's not going to make you a Christian. Many people think, well, I was baptized as a baby. I was sprinkled as a baby. That makes me a Christian. No. There's no power in the water to take away your sins. You've got to come, as the verse says very clearly here, you've got to come understanding that you're a sinner and that you need Christ and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who? God. God does the work. God is the one who gives us new life, but you've got to come believing, and you've got to come and receive. And when you reach out the hand of faith and say, Lord Jesus, I receive you into my life, God will do the rest. God will make you his child. God will give you the new birth and the new life that is described here. So tonight, what will you do this Christmas? Are you going to receive or reject that offer of eternal life? Let's bow for prayer, please. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight.